Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call and talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We have two women in the studio today who know a good wine when they see one and know just what to pair it with. They're going to answer your questions about choosing wines and cocktails and pairing them with the perfect dishes. Mary Vaughn of Allium Restaurant and Bar in Great Barrington and Amy Mendes of Meze Bistro and Bar in Williamstown are here. So let's get to know Mary and Amy, including their last names, and let's learn about wine a bit. Give us a call. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also post your comments on Facebook, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You could tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. Email is good, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Mary and Amy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
So we didn't really strategize too much about what we'll talk about today. we didn't really have time, but we'll talk about wine, right?
Yeah,
and what it goes
wine.
With. You brought wine, so let's have some wine. What did you, first of all, what did you bring today?
Well, I brought some wine that I'm pretty excited about right now that's on the list, and I actually brought some snacks, too, that it pairs with. But I thought maybe when you drink during the day, it's always good to drink rosé.
Is that true?
I that's how I feel.
Because Joe Donahue, he thinks you should be drinking bourbon during the day.
And then
later at night, it's you move on to gin.
Really?
I can get behind that, too.
Yeah.
Well, it's warmer out now. So maybe, you know, rosé.
So that's a rosé.
This is rosé.
I'm not sure I ever had rosé.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I've led a sheltered life. Sure, why not? The number to call here is 800-348-2551. So, Amy, what do you do at Meze?
At Meze, I am the manager. Mm-hmm. But as the manager, just like Mary is the manager at Allium, we curate the cocktail, wine, and beer list, as well as all the day-to-day things. Mm. But we're definitely working with our list in a way we want it to be seasonal, and we want it to reflect the menu, and we want it to pair with the menu easily. So it's a smaller list, but it changes constantly, and it's definitely trying to echo our ideas about agriculture in the restaurant, as well as when we are, you know, buying from certain winemakers. We want them to have the same ideas about agriculture and sustainability, working organically, and like kind of a hands-off approach to making wine.
So you really have a strict philosophical outlook on the wines that you will accept.
Absolutely, yeah.
By the way, you both want to get a little closer to the microphone, and I will not be the only one drinking on the show.
No, I just didn't have a glass.
Oh, okay. Well, we can make that possible. Here's some glasses.
Thank you.
Right, you want to get a little bit closer. 800-348-2551. So this is a rosé, and what brand is this?
So this is Teutonic Wine Company.
Okay.
They are based in Oregon. And they are kind of, it's a husband and wife, and they make wine in the German style, so cold climate. And you'll notice it has like a touch of residual sugar. All their wines kind of have a touch. Mm-hmm. And I tend to like that. I think it's really great with food, especially spicy food.
It is fairly sweet,
mm-hmm.
right? So a rosé is... What, how do you do that? I mean, I know red, I know white, but what do you do with rosé?
Right, so they make rosé from any number of grapes. This is 100% Pinot Noir.
Hmm.
I don't know, Mary, if you wanted to have input on how they make rosé.
Well, if it's 100% Pinot Noir, why is it so much lighter than a normal Pinot Noir?
It's all about skin contact.
Yeah, so the amount of skin contact that a rosé would get is limited as compared to a red wine, which would see extended skin contact and then would get that extraction from the skins.
Yeah.
Rosé just sees a brief period of exposure to the skin. It gets a little bit of the structure and some of maybe the tannin from the skins and the color, but it doesn't take on, you know, or the Pinot Noir would be several shades darker as a fully vinified, not as a rosé.
And again, I don't think I've ever had one, but when I see them in the wine store, I just assume they took some red and some white and mixed them together. That's not how they do it?
No, because you can have white wine that's made from Pinot Noir. Most, you know, champagne has Pinot Noir grapes in it. It's just about how long they're leaving the skins on.
All right, so this is fairly sweet. What would this pair with nicely?
So I brought today what I thought it would pair nicely with, because it has some body, it has some, you know, that touch of residual sugar that it would go really well with this Salmon Rillette, which is on our menu. Chef Nick Moulton at Meze has a dish on right now. It's kind of a snack, and it's with these Peace Valley Farm radishes.
Oh, yeah,
and
look at those radishes.
Yeah,
beautiful.
They're the first of the season. And then we foraged that watercress on our property ourselves.
Really? You just go out in the backyard and pick?
Yeah, it grows on our property. And then the salmon there, it's a salmon belly whipped with butter and lemon and garlic. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, you had me at butter.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be honest with you. So we'll try that in a minute.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, you want to pair... When you're pairing wine, you want to think about, is it going to go like hand in hand, or is it going to provide a really nice contrast?
So like fats with acids, or like with like, so sugar with sugar, sometimes dessert wine with sweeter desserts, but a contrast maybe in the flavor profiles, but less so in sameness in terms of sugar. Or when we eat really fatty food, sometimes you think of like a more acidic wine that can cleanse your palate and sort of renew your palate before you take the next bite.
I mean, this sounds out of your mouths like it's intuitive, but clearly you must have learned this somewhere. I know I'm ancient, but you both seem fairly young. How did you learn this stuff?
Your mom started you on wine in the bottle, right?
Yeah. That's what I think. So, yeah. I've been drinking red wine since day one. No, you know, it kind of came... I started as a bartender at Meze, mm-hmm. so I guess that was my learning opportunity. Spend a lot of time. The owner, Nancy Thomas, is her business model is very much integrating education into the workplace. So, you know, we spend a lot of time tasting wine as a staff. We talk about wine all the time with the idea that the staff can answer any question that you might have about a wine list, because... you know, wine should be fun, not intimidating.
And it can be intimidating.
It can be.
Especially for people like me. I don't know what to order. And you don't automatically go for the most expensive bottle. That's one thing I have learned.
I mean, that is a philosophy. Some people live by that philosophy.
What, go for the most expensive bottle?
Yeah.
But
that doesn't always translate to the best value or the best wine at all.
You can get a good bottle of wine fairly cheaply.
Absolutely.
Right, here are a couple of emails that came in.
Examples of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. Never waste the good stuff on radio, people. Yeah. That's a good number to call here is 800-348-2551, or the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. This one came in from Donna in Albany. It says, I can't drink red wine. Would you ever serve white wine with beef?
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think if you're pairing things, it doesn't have to live in like a red meat, red wine family by any means. But when you're going for a white wine to pair with your meat, you might want it to have a little more kind of structure and be a little heavier in texture.
Now, why would you not be able to drink red but be able to drink white? Is this a sulfites issue?
Well, not all wine has sulfates existing in it. Sometimes they're added, so it could be the wine itself. I mean, it exists, but... I think the red wine, I don't know specifically about allergy or how that would affect you.
Yeah, I think
you.
It's individual to individual. Yeah, some people have, it affects them differently than white wine. And I don't know how much science exists or like medical science about like, I know, you know, there are additives in a lot of wines, not necessary or certainly not the wines that we work with on our list, which are largely, you know, organic, biodynamic or sustainably produced with minimal sulfite, like minimal intervention.
Yeah.
So
what does the sulfite do in a wine?
It helps preserve it.
Yeah. We're joined today by Mary Vaughn and Amy Mendes, and this one came in via email from Kathy. I have some wild boar and cherry sausages for dinner tonight. That's nice. I plan to serve them with poached pears, English peas, and sweet potato home fries. What would you recommend for a wine to go with this dinner? That's from Kathy.
Wow, wild that sounds boar. Incredibly
that sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on the show next week, Kathy.
Where does she get wild boar? That sounds
delicious.
Yeah,
that's what I'm wondering. She sounds great. Very French.
So I guess, like, to me, that sounds like gamey-er kind of. It probably would.
Well, they're sausages, though. Wild boar and cherry sausages, right?
Sausage. Yeah. I wonder if she's grilling them, because that could affect it, too. I would say, like, a mid-weight wine, looking at my list just off the top of my head, I think something from Spain.
Okay.
A Mencia or something like that, which is going to have this kind of a bright fruit, but really kind of a dark, earthy quality to it, which might, like, in a rustic kind of way, echo the sausage.
So a Thunderbird is out of the question.
Thunderbird.
Or Boone's Farm. All right, 800-348-2551. Let's go to the phones very quickly here. And Mark in Salem. Mark, you're on.
Hi, guys. I'm a big red wine fan, but occasionally, you know, white wine is something that I want to serve. And when I was growing up back in the 70s, Chablis was very popular. And now in the stores, you never see it. Or if they do have it, they have maybe one brand. Whatever happened to Chablis?
Whatever happened to Chablis?
Yeah.
Anybody have any idea?
That's a good question. I don't know if I can answer that. I mean, we still see and work with Chablis in both the restaurants. It may be that it's fallen out of style as other parts of white burgundy have come in, become more stylish, but I don't know. Do you have any thoughts, Amy?
I mean, I've gone to, you can get Chardonnay and you can get Sauvignon Blanc, which is fine. And but, you know, occasionally, I remember the taste of Chablis, of course, being a young person, it probably tasted better than I should have, but no one carries it.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, we definitely work with Chablis on our list. It might be something to do with price point in retail and what they, you know, are selling the most of. You know, Chardonnay is readily available for many people, so that might be why. It's too bad. I mean, to seek one out is crucial. I love Chablis is beautiful, but it can be beautiful, but it definitely is.
And I've gone to many stores and asked, and they may have one type. And that's And it's like, you know, as you said, Boone Farm or whatever.
Delicious.
something that's pretty bad.
Hey, Mark, we got to take a break here, but thank you for the call. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, specializing in wine and craft spirits for more than 15 years, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins, grapesandgrainswine.com. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in the Old Town Hall, Sunderland, Massachusetts, serving globally inspired, locally sourced cuisine, open for dinner Tuesday through Sunday at 5, blueherondining.com. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. And Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, using food scraps and yard waste to create nutrient-rich compost that helps conserve water and control weeds. Compost available for purchase, ucrra.org.
Secluded rendezvous. We're back on here on Food Friday. It's 800-348-2551. Jessica Blaustein, our producer, was here, and she filled her own plate and didn't give us any. So that's not being a good producer. So we'll just talk about wine at the present time. And the salmon looks delicious, and I'm sure we'll try it at some point. Again, our number is 800-348-2551. We're joined by Mary Vaughn of Allium Restaurant and Bar in Great Barrington and Amy Mendez of Meze Bistro and Bar in Williamstown. And so you're kind of geographically separated a little bit. How did you two come together and become the experts on this?
Meze and Allium are both run by Meze Restaurant Group, so it's Meze, Allium, and a catering company, Meze Catering.
I see.
And so we trained under the same owner, Nancy Thomas, as our owner of the business, and I guess the becoming an expert just comes with time and experience and taste.
Do you get along? I mean, are there a lot of fights?
Mary and I?
Yeah.
We never see each other.
We don't see each other very often.
All right.
Usually like once a month or so.
You seem a little distant between each other, so I want to make sure everything's okay. Have another glass of wine. You'll be fine.
We'll all be best friends by the end.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. All right, let's go back to the phones, and I'll try this delicious. Now, what's the salmon dish?
So salmon rillette, so it's whipped salmon belly that's been poached, and then there's garlic, lemon, butter in it, and then the radishes are meant to be dipped within it.
Okay. Well, the thing is, I usually, when the calls start rolling in, that's when I can eat. I'll turn my microphone off, you two will talk to the caller, and then I'll try.
Okay.
So let's see if this works. Let's go to Steve in Pownell. Steve, you're on.
Hi, Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I like a dry Merlot, right? And I was hearing you talk earlier about maybe you can find one that's less expensive than others.
Right.
I usually end up spending about $30-$40 for a bottle.
Yep.
Can I find one that'll, when I drink it, you know, hit my stomach and kind of explode with warmth and keep the glass of Philly for
sounds painful.
Cheaper than that?
I mean, you can find anything at a good value if you, it's kind of this thing where a lot of the wine that you're getting, like, from France and everything, it's been certified and it's coming from this appellation, and that makes it more desirable just because it has this name on it. But if you get something that isn't, like, from a certified location, a lot of times it's delicious and they charge way less money for it.
Ah.
I think a lot of times, too, with purchasing wine, you know, to drink at home, talking to whoever, you know, going in a store like a supermarket and buying wine can be really disorienting only because there's not really anyone to guide you through the process. But a lot of times the secrets to finding like the good value wine is held by like the, you know, person who's buying the wine or people who are working in smaller wine shops can help you to either sell you something that's equivalent to what you're looking for, but at the price point that you're interested in, or can be like, you know, this is a declassified, this is made right outside of Bordeaux, but this is also Merlot, and you're going to really like this, but you're not paying as much money because it's not within the appellation, or, you know, it's a smaller winemaker, and or they're, you know, considered less prestigious. And so you can get those types of answers by going into a shop or a restaurant and, you know, asking for something and letting people lead you there.
Right, right.
Okay.
So like the smaller vineyards, like, say, the local ones, there's some around here, they may have something that I would like. Because usually what I get is something from, like, California, from, like, Napa Valley or something.
Yep. So a lot of the times around here, they're probably not growing Merlot just because it's not a grape that wants to grow in this area because it's a little colder. You'll find more like Cabernet Franc from New York State and maybe I know in Vermont too. But I think, you know, around here, locally, it wouldn't be so much. But if you go into a wine store and ask to see some unclassified Merlot, probably from near Bordeaux, you'll probably love it.
Steve, thanks a lot for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. The salmon dish, and I forget the name again, delicious. And it goes great with the rosé.
Yeah.
Really, we topped off my rosé.
Okay,
so,
good.
Yeah, really good. All right, let's go to line number 3 and Hope in Scotia. Hope, you're on.
Hi there. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I am about to celebrate my daughter's wedding.
Okay.
It's going to be barbecue food in the Adirondacks. It's not super fancy, but we want good wines to complement barbecue. Do you have any suggestions? We're looking for 2 reds and 2 whites.
2 reds and 2 whites.
Well, right off the bat, I would say, you know, you want to have, I think at weddings, you want to have wine that is, you know,
cheap.
Not like super high in alcohol because you don't want people to get too drunk too fast, but also enjoyable if people are just walking around. So things like frappato, which is really nice in the summertime outside, might pair pretty well with grilled food, but also is just a really easy drinking Italian, Sicilian varietal.
And what is the name of that?
Frappato.
Okay.
That with a little chill on it would be really awesome to just walk around.
Chilled red?
Yeah, a little chill on red sometimes is really nice. Yeah.
See the things I learned.
Yeah. And when you think about barbecue, you know, and the barbecue sauce, there's probably some heat there. There's, you know, and the smoky flavor. So you definitely could go with, like, a fuller option as well if you want 2 reds. I always like when I'm serving wine for a party to have options of, because most people say I like a lean dry red or like a big red. So it's good to have one of each. Same with white. You know, there could be some nice Chardonnays that would go really well with barbecue. You just want to kind of stick with something that doesn't have too much oak on it and has some, like, bright acidity, because that'll really bring out all the flavor there of the barbecue.
Okay.
And then for, like, a heavier red, I don't know. I really like Carignan myself. There's a really great one from Brock Cellars in California that is just, like, bright, fresh fruit, but has the body to stand up to the, you know, those flavors that you're going to be working with for your dinner.
Great.
Hey, Hope, good luck.
Yeah, thanks. Congratulations.
800-348-2551. It's Food Friday. Today we talk wine and food and pairing the two with Mary Vaughn and Amy Mendes. And let's go over to Fred in Falls Village, Connecticut. Fred, you're on.
Hey, how are you doing? Really enjoying the show.
Thanks.
You can't talk enough about wine from my point of view.
Agreed.
But I wanted to speak to the gentleman who was speaking about Chablis. And what happened in the 80s and or even as early as the 70s, a lot of the bulk producers were making generic white wine. They called it Chablis, like Mountain Burgundy, which had nothing to do with Burgundy or Chablis. But real Chablis is actually a village in Burgundy, and so it's Chardonnay. Tends to be a light, bright, mineral-flavored Chardonnay. And it's just sort of changed nomenclature in the last few years.
Right. Well, there you go.
Right, yeah.
So there you go. And keep up the good work, ladies. I can't wait to stop by your restaurant and check out your wine.
Thanks.
Fred, thanks. Have a great weekend. And by the way, what is this white? This is very interesting.
So this white is actually from Italy. It's on our dessert menu.
It's a little bubble to it?
It's like slightly frizzante.
Yeah,
yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Frizzante.
Yeah, it's Malvasia is the grape, and they make this wine. It's a female winemaker, and she's in the Emilia-Romagna, which is near where they make Lambrusco.
Mm.
But
it definitely is sweet.
Yeah, it's definitely for dessert. It's very low alcohol. You know, the shorter the concentration of time that it's, you know, sitting on the grapes, the lower the alcohol and the more sugar hasn't been turned into booze yet.
Yeah.
But this I brought to go with a cheese plate, which we have at the restaurant currently, which is an all sheep cheese from Nettle Meadow in New York. And she's serving it, our pastry chef is serving it with pickled apples, peanuts, and this strawberry honey the strawberries are from last year at Lakeview Orchard, she froze, and then the honey we get from them as well.
This is great. And if you're watching at WAMC.org, I'm holding this up, I think, to the right camera. It's a beautiful presentation, which you just did here, right?
Yeah.
Very nicely done. And we'll try that
Thanks.
In a bit.
Tell her I did a good job, too.
Let's go back to the phones. And Robin in Scotia, you're on.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question in regards. I like to serve a lot of Thai food, Asian food, so there's a lot of curries and variations of intensity of curries.
Mm-hmm.
What is a good wine to pair with that type of food?
I think Amy should take this question because I think she has the answer to this one.
Yeah, well, that's funny. I have a few answers, but I'll go with the top of the list. I love residual sugar in wine with spicy food because that... So when I talk about residual sugar, I'm talking about like Riesling and things like that. Nothing overly sweet, just has a touch at the beginning, because when you're eating something spicy and then you're drinking this wine that has this little bit of sugar on it, it kind of smooths everything out. So you're getting all the flavors without the heat intensity, and then you just want to eat more. So it's kind of that keep eating and drinking. But also there's a winemaker, it's called Montenidoli. She makes a Vinbrusco, which is made in the Chianti region, but it's like white table wine, and it's perfect for Asian-style food.
Excellent. And what about foods that are really heavy with coconut milk?
Coconut milk.
Does that change it up?
Yeah, I think so, because that's a lot of, you know, that's kind of a fattier kind of option.
I still think a, you know, residual sugar wine could be, you know, when winemakers are trying to make... wines with residual sugar, they're also trying to retain some acidity. And so I think if you could find something that just had a, you know, was still fairly high in alcohol, because typically how high in alcohol a wine is in line with how much sugar is left. So lower alcohol wines typically have, you know, not in all cases, but may have a higher level of sugar left. But a wine that has some acidity and some residual sugar to sort of cut through the fat of the coconut milk, but because that is going to be in tandem with a lot of spice or curry or things like that. Or you
All
could
right.
go with something with bright acidity across
right.
the board.
Right.
Hey, Robin, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it.
All right.
Bye. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. It's a Food Friday. We're joined today by Mary Vaughn of Allium Restaurant and Bar in Great Barrington and Amy Mendes of Meze Bar Bistro and Bar in Williamstown. Is there any food that wine just does not go with? Anything?
Well, people say things like tomatoes, but I don't think that that's true.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, what do you mean? You have a nice Italian dinner with a lot of tomato sauce, and
right.
there's
true,
a lot of good
it's
wines.
It's like a harder thing to pair with, a right. harder vegetable.
Because like it, I think really. It's harder when the food has a higher acid level, like a tomato or citrus, things like that. It's like all wine probably inherently has some like zing to it that could fight with it. But really, I mean, when I think about pairing wine and I look at the menu and then I think about the wine, I'm like, okay, let's talk about where the food inspiration's coming from. Like, just like the last phone call about, you know, curry and things like that. It's like, okay, like, usually if it's a tomato-based dish, it's from it, you know, and it's Italian, then you can find a wine they make in the same region.
Oh, you make
a
point.
And it would be
delicious
together.
Yeah, it grows together.
But, you know, I think Chinese food, and I can't think of a possible wine that would go with my Chinese food.
So many.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
It's got to be a white, though, right?
No.
Really?
No. It could be, God.
I'm trying to think about, like, what I eat with Chinese food.
I know.
So you do drink wine with Chinese food?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. That's when you get to have fun. You have like champagne and Chinese food.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, no
that's
delicious.
That's sacrilege, isn't it? Let's go to line five and Guy in West Springfield. Guy, you're on.
Okay, good afternoon. I have a question about enjoy dining, fine dining. Mm-hmm. I always start my dinner with a martini.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Dry, straight up, bone dry, straight up. What's your take on having a fine cocktail before dinner and then selecting a wine and food? Does it interfere with your taste buds or enhances the flavor after?
I think it's great.
Yeah, I think it's a great way.
That's how I like to do it.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Cocktails before and then wine with dinner.
Right. Liquor yeah. before wine, you'll be fine, right?
I got to be honest with you, Guy. I mean, I'll drink a martini with pizza.
Yeah.
I mean, we like martinis.
Yeah.
I mean, I think for a lot of people, just having a drink to kind of not only get in the mood of like having a dinner and having a meal, but also just like to get your palate sort of prepared. I think that's a strong tradition that exists, and people really enjoy doing that, myself included.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But his question was, you know, does the drink choice beforehand dictate what wine you're going to have with your meal?
Not really.
No, I don't think so. Because when I picture, I imagine you having your cocktail and maybe having some snacky items or just sitting and talking with your guests, you know. So you're just kind of warming up to the situation. And then, you know, when you get into the real eating, you'll probably choose a different wine, you know, to go with your meal. So I think whatever you have is going to do the job just great.
Good job, Guy. Great question.
All right. Very good.
Have a good weekend. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 800-348-2551. We're joined on this Food Friday by Mary Vaughn of Allium Restaurant and Bar in Great Barrington and Amy Mendez of Meze Bistro and Bar in Williamstown. You can also email us voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. Haven't tried the cheese and the peanuts yet. Hoping our producer pops in at some point to help us out here. Any trends that you see as far as mixed drinks go that are changing nowadays?
I think, yeah, mixed drinks are very trendy.
No, but I mean, what's trending now?
Well, thing that we notice at Allium is that people are drinking a lot more tequila than ever before, which I think has to do with health, a mixture of health, concerns about diet, in terms of, like, consumption of gluten and things like
that. Isn't it marketing more than anything, though?
I mean, that definitely plays a part, but it's kind of fun because there's a lot you can do with tequila, and I guess I probably wouldn't have, if I wasn't sort of in tune to what was going on with, you know, what we sold, like, I probably wouldn't have even noticed, like, everyone's drinking tequila now.
Right.
But it's a thing.
So you don't just drink it straight up with a little salt and a lime?
I mean, you can, but I think tequila is actually very versatile, and especially all the different iterations of tequila.
Well, there's a lot of different ones now, pricey sort of artisan tequilas out there.
Yeah, absolutely, and mezcal is very popular now.
Do they still have the worm?
Do they still have the worm?
In the mezcal?
I've never seen a worm.
Not.
Oh, you've never seen that? I think I still have a bottle on the top of my bar that has the worm in it.
I don't think they're doing the worm anymore. But definitely trends, I think, are, besides the tequila is trendy, but also like the Negroni kind of drink is still very popular. Gin and Campari and sweet vermouth.
Campari is still being consumed. Such a 60s thing, don't you think? Or 50s?
I think that there's a really big revival in cocktail drinking happening right now in the last 10 to 15 years. And the idea of classic cocktails and the whole genre being renewed. So the idea, like, we definitely have a lot of guests that enjoy, like, a vodka martini or a gin martini, and then they go right to wine. But we also have a lot of, like, adventurous, I would argue, younger drinkers who are sort of, like, exploring what spirits are and really interested in a reviving, you know, really revived at this point spirits culture.
Well, Campari is an interesting one.
Yeah.
I bought a bottle and mixed up some Negronis and whatnot. Yep. Tried it straight because I heard that people used to try it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, that's an acquired taste.
Yeah. It's definitely a strong taste.
I think it's nice to mix Campari.
Yeah,
I think so. It's got drink. a little too heavy. Let's take a break here. 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday, and I think we're going to try some food in a minute.
Support for WAMC comes from Pine Cobble School, Williamstown, Massachusetts. For 79 years, working to inspire curiosity, excellence, and integrity in students preschool through ninth grade. A good beginning never ends. PineCobble.org. The Nature Conservancy's Adirondack Chapter, working to protect ecologically important lands and waters of the Adirondacks for nature and people. Nature.org/Adirondacks. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts. Planning and catering weddings, showers, reunions, and other gatherings, indoors or out, at the Curtis House, with 3 rooms available, or at a variety of venues around the area. GloriosaCO.com. Interactive Media Consulting, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing logo and print design, web development, and digital marketing throughout the Capital Region and beyond, marketing creative and business ideas since 1996. iMediaConsult.com. And Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Food Friday. The wine is flowing. We're having cheese and peanuts, and it's honey infused with strawberry.
Yeah, strawberry.
It's really good. And what is the cheese?
The cheese is it's called Simply Sheep, and it's from Nettle Meadow, which is in New York State.
And who came up with this particular combination? Because I think the peanuts and the honey and the strawberry and the cheese, it's phenomenal.
We have a pastry chef at Meze. Her name's Marianne Comella, and she writes our entire dessert list, and it's her little vision there. So,
That's a dessert?
Yeah.
I could make that a main course.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it has like the sweet elements, but sometimes you want to finish a little savory.
And Mary, you poured another wine. What are we drinking here?
So I poured this Punta Crena Mataussu, and I brought this
today. That's easy for you to say.
I don't know if I'm actually saying it right. But,
that's fine.
I brought this today because I was looking at our wine list and thinking about wines that I get excited about in the springtime, and I really like, you know, crisp, dry Italian white wines, northern Italian wines, and this is a grape that's only vinified in Liguria in this little outcropping over the ocean. There's a beach there. It looks beautiful from pictures.
Yeah.
And so this is their really small winery, and I sort of feel like they fit the profile of you know, a lot of what we look for in building our wine list, and you find a lot of value in the smaller wineries.
I like this a lot.
Only because, you know, they can't use machinery in their vineyard because it's so steep. So there's a lot of, like, practices and tradition built into...
So they get in the vats and stamp on it with their feet?
I don't know if they do that there. They probably do. It wouldn't be that surprising. A lot of the wineries that we work with definitely have that as a practice. But...
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just a really crisp, clean, a little bit herbal with...
It seems light to me, but that maybe is because we've been having drinks.
I would say, and we're eating, and, you know.
Yeah.
It's on the lighter side, definitely. And
There's some bubbles.
Yeah.
He just poured, and, well, maybe the bubbles have stopped. Okay, I'm seeing bubbles, tiny bubbles.
No, I needed to taste more. It's very lively.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Let's go back to the phones. Jack in Sheffield. Jack, you're on.
Hi. First, let me say, you got the best job in radio.
Are you kidding me, man? This is all right.
We're doing a wine tasting for a friend who's turning 75. Mm. And we've got a bunch of mostly white wines, and I'm wondering what your guests would recommend as appetizers to go with the wines. Mm. And the wines are not, they're Gewurztraminers, they're Eldervickels, am I saying that right?
Eldervickels.
Edelsvicker?
Yeah,
Edelsvicker. Some Sauvignon Blanc, mostly wines from a small vineyard out in the Anderson Valley in California.
Cool. Excellent.
So my question is, what kind of appetizers would go with a variety of white wines?
Right. So with a variety, I'd say anything like seafood-based. I mean, you can't really go wrong there.
Oysters and things like that might be nice.
Definitely, yeah.
A what?
Oysters.
Oysters.
Yeah.
Or maybe some fried seafood type things could be really good.
What about scallops?
Yeah, that
scallops
could be good.
Are great.
Bacon
yeah.
with the scallops, that's always a nice appetizer.
It is a nice appetizer.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and some kind of like, spring vegetables, crudité, that kind of idea, something that you're dipping would be a nice pairing.
I was just in New Zealand and went to a winery there, and they said they were tasting Gewurztraminer, and they said that a big cheese would go good with that.
Well, yeah, I think a higher.
What do you mean a big cheese?
Wait, did you say a big cheese or a pig cheese?
Big, B-I-G.
Well, okay. What is a big cheese?
Huh?
What is a big cheese exactly?
Well, that's my question.
Oh.
Well, maybe there's, because I'm thinking Gewurztraminer, it might have, it's going to be a really aromatic, probably with some lychee and things like that on the nose. So maybe they were thinking something with like some really bright acidity to it, because it may also have some residual sugar.
Right.
I don't know what a big cheese is.
I know. When I think big cheese, I think like a little stinky cheese.
Oh, yeah,
kind of strong cheese.
Like
yeah.
Limburger?
Yeah. Cheese, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not that extreme.
Kill everyone at the entire event.
Serve
and they may be
cheese.
Thinking like strong aromatics on right. both ends could yeah. go well together.
Blue cheese.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that.
Great. Thank you very
hey,
much.
Hey, good luck. And congratulations on your friend who's celebrating 75th.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, she deserves it. She's a great lady.
Thanks, Jack.
Cool.
Take care. Thanks.
Bye. See you. Have a good weekend. 800-348-2551 on a Food Friday. Ray Graff here, joined by Mary Vaughn and Amy Mendes. And, boy, we had some nice wine today. Let's go to Elliot in Lenox. Elliot, you're on.
Hi to everyone.
Hello.
I have a pet peeve,
uh-oh.
And it's wine-food pairings.
Okay.
My sense is that we are supposed to eat a light white with an hors d'oeuvre, and it sort of graduates up to the main course, which is always beef, and you have it with red wine. Mm-hmm. I don't know if either of you do wine food pairings, but I've got a new format. My proposed format is that you lay out all the wines you are going to have us drink for the evening, mm-hmm. and let us figure out which wines we like with the different foods, rather than telling us which wines we're supposed to drink.
Yeah,
with
I mean, you can do that, right? You can pick whatever you want.
Yeah, we definitely educate our staff in a way that they can talk you through the wine list and help you make a decision if you're looking or just, you know, describe the wine to you. We've had some wine dinners where the idea was to feature a certain, like we'd had one with a female winemaker only wine. That's where the pairing came from. But I think there shouldn't be rules. I don't
But isn't it true that most restaurants, the way they feature food-wine pairings is to give you the list of the courses and tell you which wine goes with each course, and that's the way it's normally served.
I think that's one format that you commonly see. But, you know, in terms of, like, the way our wine list is set up, there's, 7 or 8 or 9 by the glass pours that, you know, we let people tell us what kind of wine they're interested in, not necessarily attached to the food that they're going to order.
Right.
Just trying to find the right wine for that person and their palate. And I don't know, I don't adhere to, and I don't think Amy does, to any strict ideas about, like, if you're eating X, you must drink Y.
Right.
And so
it's not compulsory.
But there are definitely places that offer, like, a menu with those pairings. And that's just one format that exists that, you know, has some tradition tied
to it. Elliot, does this anger you?
Yeah,
you sound a little perturbed.
Yeah.
No, I truly believe that I don't want some restaurateur telling me what wines, and that's the way these pairings go.
I see.
So I just like the idea. And I haven't heard of anyone doing what I'm proposing, which is lay out the courses that we're going to have and let me taste the five wines you plan to present rather than telling me this wine goes with course one and this wine goes with course two.
Yeah.
I've never seen
like
the bladder thing done, but I'd love to see it sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a good idea.
Well, Elliot, thank you so much for the call. 800-348-2551. We appreciate your calls very much here on the program. There's still time to get your call in. 800-348-2551. But the thing is, about pairings where they suggest or say this, you know, this is what goes with this. Mm-hmm. For people like me who don't know a thing, this is your chance to not be an idiot. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, we hope that no one ever feels like an idiot when they come into the restaurant.
But wine can be very intimidating. This
right.
gets back to our original premise
right.
of the program.
Which is something that I rail against constantly because I think wine should be fun and wine should go with your should be enjoyed with food. And if you like a certain wine and hate another, that's totally, you know, your palate, and you should only drink what you want to drink.
You know, I've been thinking back a little bit to the call about the barbecue and the wine. I mean, doesn't that call for beer? Isn't that a beer situation?
Probably beer would be a good choice in addition to.
Yeah.
Oh, but you could drink wine with a barbecue. This is something I've never done.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
All right. Well, this one came in via email from Jamie, who says, I've always loved Frascati white wines in the summer. Some are so light. Did I say it wrong?
No, okay. I just wanted to put an Italian twist on it.
All right. Some are so light they are almost clear. They seem harder to find these days. Are the grapes being used in some other blends? Turns out the wine goes back to the 5th century BC and was known as Rome's favorite. I think it would be great on a hot summer barbecue wedding. Well, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
How about Chinese rice wines? Some in those round bottles are amazing. Mezcal tequila still has the worm. Okay, Jamie's all over the place. Anybody want to?
So I'll take the Frascati.
Okay.
I don't know tons about it, but I did have the pleasure of working with a wine buyer who really loved and championed some of the Italian varietals, or like ones that she'd grown up with her like dad drinking, or you know what have you.
Yeah.
And so Frascati, we had a Frascati for a short time. By the glass, but it was harder to come by because I think it has fallen out of vogue. And it's very much a table wine, so I think if you're in Rome, everybody drinks it.
Right.
But I don't know how much is exported because it doesn't carry the name familiarity anymore. But in terms of like Italian Americans, I feel like a lot of Italian Americans are familiar with it.
Interesting.
In my understanding, anyway.
Right. And the rice wine question, I'm sorry, but I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about
rice. Have you tried the rice wines?
I have, but yeah. I couldn't speak to it.
Yeah.
You don't like?
We don't feature it on the list at all. Yeah.
I mean, maybe that would be good with, say, Chinese food.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably.
You still sound skeptical.
Goes together. Yeah. We'll go with that. It could be.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
A number to call here is
800-348-2551. We'll do
more research. 348-2551. Well, the wine is very good, and we appreciate you being here. How do you learn about, do you go out on junkets and go to wineries and learn about the wines? You write that off on your taxes?
We're very fortunate. I mean, as someone who is, you know, selling wine. You have people visit you who are trying to sell you wine to sell. So we get people visiting us every week, tasting us on wine. We go to wine tastings for the different importers. And it's basically, I mean, it is exposure. I definitely think, you know, I'm lucky that I get to taste all this amazing wine all the time. And I hope that, you know, that everyone can come to the restaurant and have that experience of, like, you know, just taste it and have a moment and enjoy it.
You're both passionate about this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, always, even if I'm tasting and I'm not necessarily interested in the wines, like I, you know, in terms of buying them or they don't fit our program, I still taste just to try to make my palate better over time.
What percentage of wines do you get pitched that you say, forget it? I mean, how many do you actually accept out of all those pitched to you?
I mean, our list, has 50 or 60 wines on it, so it's probably a pretty small percentage.
Yeah.
Because we might go to a tasting, like we're going to go to a tasting next week in Boston, and we might taste 100-something wines there and buy, I don't know, 10?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you see? So you spit it out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you taste 100 wines?
You definitely spit it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, fair enough.
Yeah. You do have to be disciplined.
I would think that you do, or it could get really ugly really quickly. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Let's go over to Tom in Columbia County. Tom, you're on.
Hi. Hi, thanks. I'd like a suggestion for a good red wine to go with roast lamb.
Delicious.
Oh, interesting. So with lamb, things that I like with lamb would be like a mid-weight with medium acidity wine. Maybe something like Sangiovese, honestly, because a little bit of bramble in there is good. I don't know. What do you think, Amy?
I was just thinking, I think definitely mid-weight, I agree with the weight, and I think acidity is great, but I think you could also go, I guess we're all heading in the Italian direction, yeah. Like Nero d'Avola, something that has that kind of like, I say like farmy, but not in a bad way, kind of like a more rustic kind of mid-weight Italian red, like Nero d'Avola, Sangiovese, things like that. Yeah.
But doesn't your answer have to be predicated upon how they serve the lamb?
I mean, to some extent, I guess because it could have mint with it, or it could be more, you know, have more spice to it. But it's definitely like when you think about a protein and you can pair it with a weight. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a steak doesn't have to be drank with a big red, but there are times when a bigger, heavier red are fitting. So.
All right, let's go over to line two. And Neil in Pine Bush. Neil.
Hi. I actually had a question about Chardonnays. My wife likes, well, I guess they consider a big, bold Chardonnay with a lot of flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And what would you pair with that? Like, what is a good suggestion? Because the only thing I ever found, she likes a particular Chardonnay called Toad Hollow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the only thing that ever goes with that to me was this thing that my cousin made, which was a brie, apricot, and nut. I heated up in the oven, I don't even know what you would call it.
I bet this would go really well.
Right, some kind of cheese. Yeah.
Something with a little bit of rich fatness to it. Yeah. Maybe same with same in this case.
Yeah. You know, because you're getting probably the flavor she's talking about there is definitely like it's probably seen some oak. So it probably has like that kind of like a rich vanilla kind of quality to it.
Oaky, fruity.
Yeah. So definitely like Mary was saying, same with same. So you want to go with like a cheese or a richer dish. I mean, chicken could be really nice if you're serving it with some kind of like creamy sauce, something like that. But you definitely don't need to bring any, like, I mean, a little acidity would be good in the food, but definitely something richer.
Something richer. Because whenever I've tried to do, I'm just thinking ahead, you know, Mother's Day's coming up. You know, and I know what kind of wine she likes, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, make a nice dinner type of thing.
Right.
One thing that goes well with Chardonnay is more Chardonnay. So remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's true. Probably agree with that.
Neil, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's quickly go over to Al in Connecticut. Al, you only have about 30 seconds here, buddy. Go ahead.
Okay, I have a question about the Petit Chablis.
All right.
It seems to be about the only Chablis you can get now, but it's very expensive. What can you tell me about it?
Oh, you got to turn your radio down a little bit there, Al, okay?
So
sure.
I sound great, but I don't want to hear myself.
I don't know if I can speak to the industry of how much Petit Chablis costs, but I feel like Chablis has a minerality to it in terms of Chardonnay that if you're looking for that experience, there's a lot of places in the world, you know, outside of Chablis that you could go to get something that might have more value to it. Northern Italian Chardonnays, there's some really nice reserved sort of California Chardonnays that don't see like a ton of oak and show some really nice minerality. So I think thinking about Chardonnay outside of the appellation of Petit Chablis might help you to find some things that would fit what you're looking for in terms of what that wine shows and its elegance. You might find some other options.
Right. Well, Al, thank you for the call. We're done. You both did a great job, Mary Vaughn and Amy Mendes. We appreciate it. What are the websites, really quickly?
AlliumBerkshires.com.
And MezzeBistro.com.
Fantastic job. Come back. Bring more wine. We'll do the show again. Support comes from Viva Fresh Pasta. 30 years, 30 wines by the glass. European cuisine infused with flavors of the world. Northampton, Massachusetts. Grab life by the knife and fork. VivaFreshPasta.com. Uncle Sam's All-American Chocolate Factory, celebrating Mother's Day with real chocolate-dipped strawberries and chocolate long-stem roses. Located on Albany Street, Schenectady, and Newton Plaza, Loudonville, UncleSamsCandy.com. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter scratch bakery caterer and cafe offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com. And Bread and Butter, newly opened restaurant in North Amherst Mill District, offering breakfast and lunch daily from traditional staples to chef specialties such as duck confit hash and maple sriracha pork belly. Breadandbutteramherst.com. Thanks again to our guests. Thanks to you for listening and for your great calls. Thanks to Jordan Taylor, our engineer. Wasn't even on the script, Jordan. I remembered it. Thanks to our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Thanks for joining us on Vox Pop. The news is next.